Yes, we are recording in progress.
Recording now. Finally.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah. So kind of just after our last episode, we figured we would just not completely do a hiatus where we do monthly bonus episodes, but we chatted about it and we said, you know what? We can manage to do bi-weekly episodes, which we think is doable.
Yes. So unfortunately, with everything that was going on and us kind of switching gears, we just felt it was kind of the right time to switch to bi-weekly. And when I say unfortunate timing, what I'm really referring to is my house is in shambles right now, and trying to record around this mess has been quite a lot with the construction and the noise going on my end. So bi-weekly will probably work a little bit better for us until everything is straightened out, and hopefully by next season maybe we go back to weekly.
Yeah, for sure. But just kind of also the dynamics of our episodes going forward, where we kind of just chatted about what this episode's going to entail, which it's exciting because it's the first official episode since the change of our podcast, where we're not reviewing at this time movies and television series and things like that, but getting to focus on some other fun, unique topics like today.
And honestly, what a time to be switching gears, because like I was saying in our last episode, there is not going to be any kind of break in the content as far as having things to review, because today's episode is all about remade games and re-released video games. And there are so many that have come out recently, like in the past few months recently, and even in the past couple years. If you are a nostalgic gamer, what a time to be alive.
You said that just perfectly. Yeah, what a time, because just when we grew up, it was definitely very limited to the different type of gaming consoles that were around. And now we have so many different PlayStation models, Xbox models, computers are at the best that they have been ever to make like gaming possible on a PC. And then you have things such as the Switch and everything else that's come out of Nintendo. And what a time to be able to relive your childhood games. And of course you can play the original games, mm-hmm. but the quality is not up to snuff. Mm-hmm. But now we're able to play our childhood just core memory games that really just paved the way in HD, and just overall, it's just a win-win situation.
It's such a great time to be a gamer and love old school gaming, because like you said, growing up with these games was so much fun. They were a wonderful experience and such a fond memory in my childhood. And I remember growing up as video games were rapidly, the technology was just rapidly upgrading and constantly getting better and better, and there was always a new console coming out. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the time always being excited for the new thing, and being when I was able to get the new console, being able to get that new console and play it with my siblings. But I was always concerned about that backwards compatibility, because it was such a big investment, especially at that age, because my parents weren't necessarily just buying the consoles for me. I had to save up that allowance to get the stuff, and it was like a huge investment for me. And so it meant a lot to me to be able to still play those older games and whatnot on my newer consoles. And a lot of those new consoles didn't allow for that, and didn't really have a way for you to play their classic games that you grew up with and loved.
Yeah, it's crazy, because we're even seeing Game Boy Advance be recreated. It's not directly through Nintendo. It's from some other company. I don't remember the name off the top of my head. but there is a nostalgic feel where we're seeing people wanting to use Game Boy Advance again, Game Boy Colors, people pulling out their Nintendo DSs all over again, and even PSP has made a comeback. It's not the original PSP, but it's the new version that's dropping. And yeah, and it's really cool because I actually recently, over the weekend, I purchased this game that was remastered, and I was playing it for years on PlayStation 2, and it's called Clonoa, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it was one of my favorite games where it was like such a simple concept of you're this character, the storyline was fun, and you go around, and the bad guys are super cute and just fun. And the great thing about the remastered version is not only did I get the second game, I also got the first game in this. And it was just, I binged through so much of it. And my husband said, you're going to end up finishing this game in one night if you don't hold back.
I totally understand that feeling. That was actually the feeling that I had a few years back when I got the remaster, the remakes for Spyro. They remade the original trilogy, and growing up, those were some of my favorite games. I played all three of the Spyro games that came out on PlayStation 2. They were some of my favorites. And when I say, I think the company that remade the games is called Toy Box. When I say that they made a perfect recreation of these games, every little detail was exactly where it should be, down to the decorations in each level, in each overworld. And it was so wonderful to get to replay this game, because I it was like getting to experience the game through like nostalgia glasses almost, because the way I remember it, you know, it's not very polygonal, it's not rough. I remember it very pretty. And of course, if you go back and play the original PlayStation 2 Spyro games, they are not very pretty. But to get to play them in this remastered way that was so respectful of the original games, it really felt like getting to play them as my memory remembered them. And it was such a wonderful experience. And it was the same thing where it was, I just was so invested and was having so much fun. I played through almost all three of them in the first night.
I have that too. And it's funny because it's so true, where if you look back at an original Spyro game on the PlayStation 1, as a kid, those graphics were amazing. It was literally like mind-blowing to see that as a child. But now if you go back and look at the original graphics versus the remastered, it's just, there's a lot of appreciation there of how far just gaming has come with, like, the just the interface of it and how everything is laid out, such as the animation and everything. And definitely with Spyro, it's, you hit it on the head right then and there again the second time. This is why I love this this specific conversation is just, yeah, where they didn't change anything. The game was exactly start to finish, same thing, same missions, same word for word storyline, and also what the characters were saying. And that's what I think is the most exciting thing for a lot of gamers that are seeing their games come back remastered, is you didn't essentially reinvent the wheel here by giving us a whole bizarre different type of story. It's exactly what we remember as a kid.
But even then, even when they're making remakes that are exact replicas, just prettier and remastered in a way that is updated and looks a lot nicer than it could ever could have on the PlayStation 2. Even with that being said, a lot of remasters are taking the opportunity to, some things like Spyro don't need any work, perfect as is. But some of these remasters, what I'm really enjoying getting to see out of them as well, is they're getting to go, okay, here are the mistakes that we made with this game, here are some, maybe some like little mechanics here and there, some quality of life things that we can add to make the game a little better, a little bit nicer to play, a little bit easier on the player, and especially new players who might, this might be their first introduction to the game. And it's really wonderful to get to see that as well. And even like I just said, like get to have players who never experienced the original game really get to experience the game. And now it's modernized and fresher and more accessible to a newer audience. That's really cool to see too. And I really got to see that with another recent remake, Story of Seasons, A Wonderful Life. Such a good remake. But it made so many really, really wonderful quality of life changes. The game was very difficult when I played it as a child. Now it is much easier. I am just zooming through the game. And not in a bad way either. There's still challenge there, but they made it to where you don't have to grind or fight as hard to get as far earlier on in the game. And it's a lot nicer.
Oh yeah, because even looking at the Simpsons Road Rage game that came out, it was 2001, 2002 when it originally came out, and people for years have been saying, give us a remastered version of this game, and long behold, we're finally getting it. I don't know if it's the end of this year into next year, but sometime soon it's dropping, and they're remastering it by essentially doing exactly what it was, same missions and everything, but to what I'm understanding is they're expanding on it, though.
Hit and Run is one of my favorite PlayStation 2 games. I literally want that remake so bad that I actually have a PlayStation 2 specifically to play Hit and Run.
So I butchered which one it is. It's the Hit and Run game that is being remastered, but there has apparently been also in the past a revamp of Road Rage as well, where they have done it, but the Hit and Run series, Road Rage versus the Hit and Run series, they're definitely revamping it. And it's funny, I can see how myself gets that confused, because I had played Hit and Run when I was a kiddo, and Road Rage, and it's like they were so similar, but is more expanded.
oh yeah for sure. I love Hit and Run so much. It was such a great game for me. Like I said, I own a PlayStation 2 to this day, and the only game I have for it, well, I own two games for it, it's Hit and Run and Harry Potter Prisoner of Azkaban, because that was my favorite Harry Potter game on the PlayStation 2.
It was a good one. One game that I really hope at some point they will remaster is, I think it was called Freaky Freestyle. It was a dirt bike riding game on the PlayStation 2, and I loved playing that game. It was a great racing game, and I hope they remaster it at some point.
And it's another thing, too, that I've noticed that game companies have been doing specifically with Nintendo is they've been creating hosted emulators for their online subscription program. So if you own one of these consoles and you pay to have their online service, there is an emulator available for their older consoles to where they have games available that were available on these older consoles, so that a lot of these really beloved games can be played. Today, at the day of recording, Nintendo actually just released a bunch of Pokemon games onto their Game Boy emulator and their N64 emulator, Stadium 2, which was a game I could not get enough of as a child. I loved this game. I'm so excited. Honestly, after I'm done recording with you, I might play a little.
They have really done very well for coming up with the simulators. And I think in scenarios like that, that's where we don't make changes in the classic Mario games. We want to play them the 2D flat version as they are. Hey, it's been cool getting a new take on Mario where it's like a 4D adventure and everything, but the classics, I think sometimes it's appropriate to keep it as the animation was.
Oh, I agree. It's so fun to go back and revisit these old games. One game that has been just brought on to every system I can think of available to play is Sonic the Hedgehog. Just the original mm-hmm. Sonic the Hedgehog and Sonic the Hedgehog 2 has been emulated and ported onto so many different systems, and I could not be happier because that is such a fun game to get to go back and play. And I really hope that more of the gaming companies start doing this more often, to where they make it to where their older games and their older libraries are available for their online subscribers, so that if you want access to these older games and you want to play them and you don't want to have to go through the work of like finding a vintage console, I hate to call them vintage, but but to find the older consoles and to be able to and then on top of it find the games, which finding a hard copy of certain games can be super expensive because they're just so hard to find. Some, you know, are super cheap. Like, I want to get The Sims 2 for my PlayStation 2, and that's cheap, but
I knew you were going to bring that up. I wish you told me this years ago, because I had sold a copy of The Sims 2 for PlayStation years ago. And then even the disc for computers I recently got rid of.
I managed to find a copy of The Sims 2 that I could download for my computer. That's the computer, the PC mm-hmm. version of the game. So I have that, but I loved that PlayStation 2 one that they had, where you had to go through the story and upgrade to get all the different houses and whatnot. I really loved that version of The Sims 2, and I would love to play it again. But again, I have to get the hard copy of it because it's never been remade. It's not available on any emulators or anything like that. So it's again, still very hard to get access to a lot of these older games that we have nostalgia for that are just fun to revisit sometimes, even if you're not planning on playing the whole game through, just like to revisit for a few hours. It could just be that extra little dose of serotonin that you need.
You know what game that isn't a remaster, but I have to still give a lot of appreciation for?
What?
Super Mario Maker.
I love Super Mario Maker. That's such a fun take on Mario.
Oh, 100%. It's not like it's obviously a revamp, but it's a whole new concept where they allow people to come in and obviously make their own Super Mario Brother levels. But with it, the reason it makes this specific topic makes me think of that game is just because they give you the option to make the levels. Do you want them 3D? Do you want them 2D and flat? And that's where there's a lot of appreciation to that.
I love Mario Maker. Mario Maker 2, I spent hours upon hours upon hours mm-hmm. on. I could not stop playing that game. I would just get an idea for a level and I would start working on it. And then of course you have to beat your levels to be able to upload them, and I would make mean levels. And I would have to spend hours upon hours just trying to get them to upload, because I was like, why did I make this? This is impossible, and I'd somehow do it.
I would play them where you can essentially go and play your friends' levels if you're connected with them on the game. And I would go in and see the ones that you and Clay would make, and I'd say, what on earth were they doing? Because they're like almost impossible. But yeah, then you had some really great levels too that were really fun to do. And I think that's the cool thing where, man, I have not gotten on that game in, honestly, it's been a really long time. It's been probably a couple of years, and I'm curious to know how many people have played my level now.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to get on and see what, like, who's beat my levels and stuff.
And on top of it too, it's been so long, I don't even remember how my levels went either.
Yeah, like I can remember one in particular just because I think like I was traumatized by it a little bit trying to get it to upload. But outside of that, I really can't remember. Like, I remember the very first one I made because it was silly and very short. And then I remember the very hard one I made, and that was about it.
There's a specific Tekken game I really would like them to remake. I don't remember which number it is because there's been so many Tekken games over the years. But there was a specific version that I just absolutely loved playing. I would rent it all the time from Blockbuster. And I think it's just really exciting, the overall process of how more and more games throughout the years we're just going to continue to see be remastered. And not even just that, but in a whole new way as well now, where we have things such as the VR headsets. And with that alone, that is going to change the dynamics of gaming, where you look at something such as Beat Savers, or you look at the Silent Hill games that are on VR headset. There's a lot of things that can be done in the future that's really exciting to look forward to.
Definitely. It would definitely be interesting to see a lot of older games remade as well in a VR setting and see how that would handle.
Oh, yeah. I am sitting here starting to think of all of the people that would opt into specific games if it's like a Jack and Daxter or Ratchet and Clank, GTA, Spyro, if there is a way to
Breath of the
turn
Wild.
yourself, yes, and how it could be endless, where VR, that is a whole new uncharted terror, it's not uncharted, but essentially with these classic games that we love, it is very much uncharted in that sense.
Yes. It could be so interesting to see what happens with that. And
They're pretty cool, I'll tell you
yeah.
that.
I really want to play, it's not a remake, but I really want to play that VR chat game where it's just you make an avatar and run around different worlds and just kind of like I think there's different games you can play, and then like you could just go to areas and just chat with people and whatnot. But as far as I've seen the things that people have created and recreated and have done with the game is pretty endless, and I'm very interested in exploring that myself.
That reminds me of this game is still around, but I think it's called IMVU, and it was an online chat platform where you would create your own avatar and you could dress them up however. I specifically had purchased Sailor Moon clothing for my character, and you literally went around in these different chat rooms, and the chat rooms were different scenes. So whether it was somebody's specific house that they had created, or a restaurant, a beach, whatever be the case, it was literally endless, like what you're talking about. And that definitely reminds me of that game, except it didn't have games within the game. It was just strictly a online platform to talk to people.
Wouldn't it be really cute if we could play like a VR version of Animal Crossing where I had my whole island made and you could come visit it that way in a VR setting and walk around and see all the
That would
different
be
things I
very
did?
nice. That would be, it would, VR, it's very scary and also exciting to think what they're gonna do with this. And there's actually a game, it was supposed to drop sometime this year. It might have already, or it's to be dropped. I don't remember what the name of it was, but you were essentially a vampire running a hotel. I think it was like Vampire Hotel or something. And your guests, essentially, you want them leaving alive for the night. And it's all VR and it looks really cool. And I'll see if they have it out yet or what be the case. Another game that would be cool in VR is something like The Quarry or
Ooh.
Until Dawn or
Oh
all those
gosh.
horror
You want to
games.
play all the scary games in VR? That's too much for me.
Yeah, I say it now, but I don't know if I would actually do it myself.
I can barely handle a scary game when I'm sitting on my couch with all of my lights on and all of my plushies and my two dogs around me. Like, I'm still struggling to get through some horror games. I have to watch other people play them. I can't play them myself.
Until Dawn, that is a real, oh my gosh, my heart is beating super fast and pounding out of my chest.
Yes.
It's I live for those choice games.
I've tried to get through that game because I think there's a way you can get through it and everybody survives. And I can't do it because it just freaks me out too much, and then I can't get the quick time events.
Yeah, I love that style of gaming. It's fun,
It's a lot of fun.
and the choices you make will totally alter the end of the game.
You know what games I really miss? I don't think this company is around anymore, unfortunately. The Telltale games.
I know exactly what you're talking about. They had all of The Walking Dead, and my favorite one was the
I
Batman
would say the
series
Batman
game.
series was so, I was so invested in that whole storyline. I didn't play it myself. Clay played it and I watched him play, and but it was funny because he had the controller in his hand. I was making all the decisions because at one point I think he was trying, I think he was going to make a different choice with Catwoman, and I was like, I swear to God, if you mess it up with Catwoman and make it to where you guys don't kiss, I'm gonna be so mad. And then after that he was just like, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do? But it was so
Yeah,
good.
those are so fun because you just kind of alter it and try different endings and scenarios, and especially a game like Until Dawn. Yeah, there is a way to make sure everyone's alive at the end of the night, or nobody's alive at the end of the night. But I really have not gotten far in the quarry, and I hope that at some point I'll get back to it. I really wish I bought it for PlayStation, but I bought it for Xbox and I regret my decisions. I'm sorry, everybody, don't come for me. I am a PlayStation person, through and through.
So right now at work we are actually running, because we run a monthly poll at my job. So if you have like reward points, you can spend them when you make a purchase to vote in our poll. So currently we are running a poll for best video game console maker. So, like, which company do you think is best overall throughout all of the years of that they've been making consoles? So it's obviously against Sony, Xbox, and Nintendo. And when I say Xbox got so many votes right out the gate, it blew my mind. I am also not an Xbox person. Please don't come for me. I've owned all three consoles at some point in my life. I am just so true to Sony and Nintendo, and honestly, if I were to put my vote in, Nintendo gets it. I know that it's a potato. I know it's a potato system. Almost every generation, they're just more innovative. They're doing the most with their gaming system.
I think it's more family friendly too with all of the Mario games, and specifically, it's probably also dependent upon what did you grow up with as a kid? Did you what did your parents play with? What console, or what did they get you as your first console? And I think that probably rings a little true where people will still say, "Oh yeah, I love my PlayStation, I love my Xbox, but you know what? Nintendo 64 has my heart." And so I think that's what it really depends upon. But hey, I'm with you on that. Large bag of popcorn for a PlayStation.
Okay, so Nikki is a PlayStation person, a Sony person. I am a Nintendo girly. Let us know in the comments on our Instagram what system do you like? Which is your favorite? Who has your heart?
Oh, I am so curious to see how this goes. Oh yeah. Oh no. You know what my favorite console is? It was the PSP. Does that even still count as a console?
I mean, considering that most of Nintendo's success has been off of their handheld consoles, I'll allow it. I will
Okay.
allow
You heard it first here, everyone.
it.
What an exciting episode and just a great change of pace. I guess it's fair to ask any updates regarding the strike.
As of right now, there haven't been any new updates as far as when it should be over, what we can talk about, that kind of thing. So as of right now, there will be no reviews until the writers and the actors get better pay. So no reviewing, no. But until then, we will be talking about other things. What's going to be our topic for next week, Nikki?
Good question. I think I'm going to flip this over to our listeners and put this out there to everyone who listens. Seriously, what do you want us to talk about? Do you want more gaming content? Do you want YouTube content, TikTok content? But yes, please send us your ideas, everyone. But next week, we're going to have some fun with this episode. We're going to do something completely different and out there. We are going to be going through some of the most viral and odd videos that have been dropped through those specific online content creators, 5-minute hacks. You said another person specifically, and I think this is going to be so fun because you see those videos pop up on TikTok. Sometimes you'll see them just through your Facebook feed, whatever be the case, and you'll look at them and think, what on earth?
Whether it be a weird recipe somebody is trying or some kind of ridiculous life hack that doesn't even seem like it's even a hack, it seems like it's making it harder. We're going to be going through those and trying to figure out what was going through these creators' minds when they came up with these.
Who knows?
But I think we had a pretty fun episode this week. I'm very excited for next week. So
same. Awesome. But until then, everybody, stay tuned. Until next time.
Bye.
If you like Two Girls, One Review, go subscribe wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts. Did I say road rage?
Yes. Road rage is the taxi driver clone. Crazy Taxi.